I will be reading from Galatians 5, verses 1 through 18. And if you do want to follow it along in your Bible, you can find it on page 1221. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You, who are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that might be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Word of God.
I bet lots of us have watched the movie Braveheart. It's a movie in which William Wallace, the Scottish leader, and an army of Scotsmen are staring down the soldiers of England. Knowing that the resolve of the Scotsmen is weakening, he gives a great and stirring speech to his men. And it ends like this: aye, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live, at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they cannot take our freedom? Freedom. Freedom is the dream. Freedom is what people are looking for. Freedom is the goal. Every war that has been fought, in one way or another, is all about freedom. Freedom that is threatened, freedom that is hoped for. people who are enslaved fight to regain their freedom. And in the spiritual realm, those of you that have been in church for a while and have been talking about spiritual things for a while know of the term spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the teaching as the reality of the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual struggle, that there is the forces of God and there is the forces of the enemy of God, and we are engaged on the Lord's side against the darkness. It's a spiritual battle, and we are in it so that people may experience spiritual freedom. It's a quest. The quest to be free, the fight to remain free, and the fight to put down the domination of evil. The letter of Paul to the Galatians, which Rob read a portion of, is really important to understand this, and it's a very interesting letter. As you read the whole letter of Galatians, and I encourage you to sometime, and if you're in the Bible reading plan, you know that we're going to read that. It's one in which the Apostle Paul is particularly exasperated. He's been with these people. He's taught them. He spent a lot of time with them. He lived with them. He knows them. And he loves them. He came to them so that he could set them free in the gospel and experience the peace and joy of a life lived connected to Jesus Christ. But these Galatians, they've been given freedom and they keep running back to slavery. It's like being free for them was simply too good to believe, so they chose what they could believe, and that was bondage. Now, in this letter, there are actually two kinds of spiritual bondage. And in our reading today, Rob spoke to both of them. The first kind of spiritual bondage is the kind of bondage that's tied to rules. There were a lot of Christians back in the day that received this Galatian letter who had grown up as Jews. They were born Jews, they grew up as Jews, and then they heard the gospel and they gave their allegiance to Christ. But their growing up was as Jews, and the Jewish teaching was all about rules. There were rules that you needed to follow so that you would be in a good relationship with God. You had to go to temple. You had to make your sacrifices. You had to obey all 619 laws that are contained in the Old Testament. And you needed to continuously examine yourself to see how obedient you were being to the law of God. And should you have fallen in any way, you had to hurry and make restitution. You had to make a sacrifice. You had to do something to put yourself back in the good with God. That's how they grew up. But they became Christians. And then the sacrifice of the victory of Jesus became the new way for people to find peace with God. It was no longer by what you did or your own obedience. It was all about what Jesus Christ did and his obedience that was the basis of your peace. It was grace. Grace is a gift given to you not for following the rules, but flowing out of the mercy and the generosity of God. So that's an improvement, isn't it? From going from rules and pressure on yourself to going to receiving grace as a gift and simply accepting it and experiencing the benefit. But these foolish Galatians, they have the best thing that God can do in their hands, and they keep throwing it away. They say, this grace stuff doesn't feel right. We want to get rid of grace so that we can keep on following the rules. We want to be dependent on the rules and say no thanks to grace. And it doesn't matter what anybody says, they were stubborn, hence Paul's exasperation. Seems like it doesn't matter what Paul would say or anyone would say. They said, we are going back to what is familiar. We are going back to our old patterns because it fits. It feels good. It's like an old shoe. It's all broken in nice. Fits our foot. So the rules felt like they fit. And grace, though being so light and free, felt wrong somehow. Now, it's easy for us to tisk-tisk about these Galatians. Oh, come on, you silly people. I mean, you had rules, and there was no assurance of your faith and of your future, and now Christ says it's all yours, and you just have to receive it. And say, I don't want to just receive it. I want to keep earning it. I want to not accept your gift. And we say, how silly is that? But that's a lot like us. In the last couple of weeks, I've been with friends. And the conversation, not at my prodding, has gone to remember when we were kids and all the rules that we had to live by. And we all laugh. We say, we could ride our bikes Monday to Saturday, but on Sunday, bikes were forbidden. Someone said, I had to wear my Sunday clothes the whole day, even when we were camping, because that's just what you did. Some people said to me, we had to go to church morning and evening, but even if there was a Dutch service in the afternoon, we even had to go to the Dutch service, even though we didn't understand a single word of Dutch. And then they'd say we'd sit there, and if we squirmed or started misbehaving, we'd get pinched. You know, leerluister, you sit still and listen. Say, but we don't even understand a single word. Doesn't matter. This is what we do. This is our rule. And it sounds kind of nuts now, here in 2017, in this context. That was so weird. But we have our own rules, don't we? We have our own things. We have expectations about body life in the church, about how we function and what we do. And even though they're not the blatant kinds of rules that we had generations ago, we still do have expectations, and they function as rules. Don't make waves. If you make waves in this place, we'll find ways to push you away. We expect you, it's a rule, it's a law that you're going to pay the budget. And if you shop on Sundays, you are required now to feel guilty about it, even though lots of us still do that. If anybody was looking at us from the outside, they would think that we're all about trying to earn our salvation by doing the right thing, playing the role that we've been assigned. Pay your dues. Put your money in the budget. Pay your dues. Put your time into ministry or be on some committee. And if you pay enough and if you do enough, then we're going to think you're okay. But if that's what we think, if that's what we really believe, that it is about that expectation or another, then we are failing just as much as the Galatians who received this letter from Scripture were failing. They were falling away from the freedom and joy that is theirs, and we often fall from the freedom and joy that is ours in Christ. We fall from grace into bondage, into the grim desperation where the enemy wishes us to find our experience. So this is what I want you to hear. You do not earn your salvation. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to serve. You don't have to give in order to be welcomed by Christ into his kingdom or to be embraced by him as a child of God. Woohoo! You are officially set free. You are free, free at last. Now, does that mean that you're going to go here and you're going to tear up your committee membership card? Does it mean that you're no longer going to participate in any ministry of the church? I don't have to do this. I don't have to work at this. I don't have to participate. I don't have to give up an evening a week. I can just watch Netflix every day of the week. Well, if what you are doing in church is so that you feel like you are earning your salvation, then I do think you should quit. That you should take a step back and say, I'm not earning my salvation. Release yourself from bondage. If doing ministry in this church is part of your bondage, then I pray that you stop. I don't want this, and no one here in leadership wants this church to be a place of compulsion or of manipulation. Now, the Galatian Christians heard this message, and they said, woohoo, we don't have to earn our salvation. And then they took a hard turn straight into another form of slavery. Rather than being slaves to the rules, they became slaves to their sinful natures, to jealousy, to infighting, to greed, to other godless behaviors. And the fact is that that sin is itself bondage. It wounds us, it defiles us, it defaces us, it shames us, it demeans us. And the Galatians, being set free from the bondage to rules, went into the bondage of a sinful life. And I get why this happened to them. Because it happens to all of us. It happens to me. We're so aware of the grace of God. You've heard sermons like this before. It's by grace you've been set free. It's not by works, lest any of us should boast. It's a gift of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And every week we're reminded. We have confession of sin. We say, yeah, we're sinners. We hang our heads. And say, but the fact is that by the grace of God, our sins are forgiven. So consider yourselves forgiven. All those things you just confessed, they're all gone. They're forgiven. You've got a clean slate. And so the pressure is off of us to do what is right. And therefore, we slide really easily back into that which seems pleasurable and seems fun and feels good and is easy, but is truly and ultimately damaging to ourselves and harmful, contrary to what we know through the Word to be God's good and perfect will for us. In our twisted and broken, sinful reality, it is not our default to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it is not our default, as it says elsewhere in Scripture, to love God first and above all. It is our default by sin to care about ourselves and to be selfish and greedy and to try to accumulate at the cost and at the expense of others. We fail again and again. And that failure seems normal, but in fact, our normal is bondage. We become enslaved to the things that Christ has already defeated. And This goes again to the exasperation that Paul is experiencing with these Galatian Christians. He tries to set them free from all these rules, and then they say okay, and they become enslaved to sin, which is corrupting them and damaging them. He says, we've been made for freedom. We have our freedom won for us by Christ, so let us not just go from one slavery into another. The right motivation of a life set free by God from the bondage of rules is gratitude. Are you grateful? Do you know Christ to be your Savior? Do you know that you have received salvation as a gift and you can rest comfortably in Him, knowing what He has done for you? If that is true, then what should happen in us is that we feel blessed. Have you received much materially? House, job, savings, cottages, boats, snowmobiles, vacations, whatever. Have you received much relationally? Parents, spouse, children, extended family, friends, neighbors. Health, healthy, strong, vigorous. Spiritually, are you healthy? You know God. You've been given a new orientation. Either you're oriented to heaven instead of to the pit, to glory instead of to shame, to life instead of to death. You are free to express your thankfulness. That is freedom. You are free to be grateful to God. And thankfulness is expressed in living the life that Jesus has given to you. And a life lived Jesus' way is one that blesses your neighbors and blesses yourself. It's about bringing that kind of blessing to others, to expanding the circle of love and grace. Grateful people in grateful community expand and bless. So if you are burdened by obligations that you feel you cannot meet, let them go. If you are bedeviled by a lifestyle of cravenness and brokenness, then give your head a shake and walk away from it. Make a decision today to live a life marked by gratitude that is in tune with the will of God. It's like when you're driving, right? You turn the steering wheel and the tires on the car kind of turn with it. If you make a decision to live by grace in a spirit of gratitude and you turn your head and your heart that way, your life turns that way too. And people will see where your trajectory is going. And they will look. So where is that guy headed? Where is that woman going? And they'll realize that you are headed to the King. It is written, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth that he came to make known. This is the power for which he gave himself up on the cross. And this is the power that raised him from the dead. This is the power that lets us live lives of gratitude and joy and be a testimony to our children and to our neighbors. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to be free. We want to be free from being stuck with rules. We want to be free from broken lifestyles that only lead to pain and to further brokenness. We want to be free to love you and free to serve you, not out of compulsion, but out of pure joy. So we pray for your Spirit, Lord, to come into us. You've come into us before that we might believe. Now come into us again with great power so that we can live this kind of grateful life to your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen.